Amen. The Lord God has given us the tongue of disciples that we may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens us morning by morning. He awakens our ear to listen as a disciple. Lord God has opened our ears, and we have not been disobedient, nor have we turned back. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place, and we recognize and declare you as Lord, Lord of all. Father, you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the one. And so we just worship you. We just thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Holy Spirit, we are welcome in this place to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. Father, you know the needs in the room. You know this gathering was already in your thoughts. And so we just thank you for that. We thank you for what you're about to do and what you already have done. We just praise and we just worship you. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm just going to share something real quick and then get my brother up here. If you're in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, and since we've been having a lot of earthquakes, this is kind of fitting. We had one last night again, I think, what, 2 in the morning? I was asleep for that one. But praise God for that anyway. It says, "See to that do not refuse him who's speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven? And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.'" This expression, "once, yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received, say, "I have received."
I have received.
"I have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us show some gratitude by which we may offer to God acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." You know, one of the things that is just wonderful to be on a winning team, I don't know about you, but I've been on some teams before that were not winning. It wasn't any fun. But being on a winning team and part of the body of Christ, we win. Now, we're serving a King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is Lord. He's absolutely sovereign. He says he's going to shake all things. That means any enemy that is against you is going to be shaken off of you, because there's something inside of you that cannot be shaken. Every person that has the Jesus inside of them, there's a part of you somewhere that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved. And so do not let the enemy lie to you. You have something within you that is able to get you out of whatever you think you're in. And a lot of what we think we're in is just thinking we're in it, because we're not really in what we think we're in sometimes, because it's just our mind telling us we're in something when we're not in something. Amen? That's why you came. You said, "I heard that amen. I'm drawn to you." Amen. I'll preach to you all night long. Amen. But no, seriously, I just want to encourage you that we have the King of kings and the Lord of lords inside of us. He's inside of you. I mean, God is inside of you. The Godhead. The whole thing is inside of us. The new birth. The significance of that is yet to be even completely revealed in revelation to us, but I believe that as we spend more time with him and in his presence, we get not just a taste of it, but the reality of it, because God wants to have reality within you. You need to hear that tonight. He's inside of you. You have the strength. You have the abilities within you to complete your mission on this earth. You have a mission. You have something to do, and if you will step up to the plate, he will meet you there. He will empower you to go forward, because who cares? What's behind is what's behind. You know, we're so many times we like to think about all the things that have happened to us in our past. I don't like to think about them too much, to be honest with you, because I'm too consumed with what is ahead. And you need to be consumed and obsessed with what is ahead in your life. Because not only are you going to be in eternity, But before you get there, you have ultimate opportunities to serve this King that is inside of you, this one that gave you eternal life, this one that gives you the solutions to everything pertaining to life. You have the opportunity to serve him. There's no greater honor than that. It's really our expression of love to him. And I know that, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for Jesus that he saved me. I mean, he saved me. I'm so thankful just to have that eternal life. So he's going to shake all things. In Isaiah 24, I've asked the Lord, well, why, you know, what are the reasons, you know, why are you shaking everything? What is it that, what is going on? And so in Isaiah 24, he points it out. He says, behold, the Lord lays the earth waste. He devastates it, distorts its surface, and scatters its inhabitants. And the people will look like, and the people will be like the priest, like the servant, like his master, the maid, like her mistress, the buyer, like the seller, the lender, the borrower, the creditor, like the debtor. The earth will be completely laid waste and completely despoiled. For the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and withers. The world fades and withers. The exalted of the people of the earth fade away. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed the laws. They violated the statutes. They broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine mourns, and the vine decays. All the merry-hearted sigh. The gaiety of tambourine ceases. The noise of revelers stop. The gaiety of the harp ceases. They do not drink wine with song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of chaos is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may enter. You can read on and on, but the point I'm trying to make, there are three things. There are three things that God calls out here. The transgression of the laws. The inhabitants of the earth, they violated, they overstepped, they disobeyed God's instruction and moral laws. And these are the unbelievers. These are the people that are on the planet. And we wonder why things are happening on the earth. Changing the ordinances or violating the statutes. The inhabitants changed the ordinance because they violated three specific areas of their relationship with God. According to the meaning, they disregarded, they altered, or twisted the specific statutes or divine appointments God set in place. And then the breaking of the everlasting covenant was the third thing. The inhabitants broke the covenant that was intended to last forever, often interpreted as a covenant made between Noah and all humanity in Genesis 9:16, which included honoring the sanctity of life. These actions led to a moral and spiritual corruption that polluted the land, resulting in the curse described in the following verses in Isaiah 24 we just read. So this is something that's going on. We're not part of it. We're the solution. This is why we need to really have something burning inside of us, and that is the simple reaching out to those that are around us that are lost. There are so many people. You guys are anointed. God has called you into ministries. Everybody has different specific things that you're doing. I encourage you to continue to do it. I hope that you get some strength tonight. We've got another equipper here. We're going to have him come up right now. Come on up, Jim. I'm just going to give it to him. So I just want to encourage you. You know, it's so funny that there was an anointing in this place before we started, and I knew I was going to be talking about judgment, but the judgment is coming upon our enemies. You need to hear that, okay? So I just want you to be encouraged.
I said as I limp up.
Before he did them gymnastics.
That's a word, brother. Yeah, last March I fell and broke my hip. It wasn't fun. And I was in therapy for like 84 days. And, you know, you wonder why all that stuff happens. And you don't worry about it. And what you realize is, as laying in bed, I was at Still Hopes in rehab. I was laying in bed, and the Lord spoke to me and says, who else had a broken hip? I said, well, Jacob did. He had a limp. He said, no, he got a new walk. Whatever bad happens to you, you've got to change your perspective.
Amen.
That's the key. In today's world, we have a wrong perspective. We're too much consumed by world instead of by the word. They both start with W. And tonight, I just want to talk just a few minutes about a few things. Number one is being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And we've got to be full of the Spirit. And there's really one major way that we become full of the Spirit. Now, we think it is, in us charismatic Christians, we look at it as a mystical kind of thing, but it's pretty practical. Jesus said in 663, John 663, the words that I speak, they are spirit in their life. What's the words he spoke? Genesis to Revelation. That's his written word. How many hours a day are you spending in it? That's going to determine how full of the Spirit you are. Think about it a minute. It talks about meditate on my word day and night. He didn't say every other day or every 2 weeks, but he said every day and night. Well, if you're going to meditate on his word, you got to get in his word. And so many people today are just not in the word. And I don't mean just the New Testament. By the way, if you're not in the Old Testament, you're missing some jewels in there, because a lot of things Jesus spoke in the New Testament, there's direct relation back here to the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't have your New Testament without it. And there's a lot of things he says in there, like he just showed me today, which I'm not going to teach on, why he cursed the fig tree. And I saw it this morning, I like fell out of my chair. I said, God, I've never seen this before. I've read my Bible through hundreds of times, and I'd never seen it before. But see, he opens the Bible up for those that hunger and thirst. And I don't mean just read your Bible. Learn to study your Bible too. That means sometimes you're going to have to get books that help you understand the culture, the context, all those different things. And I'm going to give you a couple examples here in a minute to help you understand that you just think you know something about your Bible, and you're going to realize you don't know much. And I tell people, I've been doing this for 43 years. And this is about how much I know. I mean, I'll never stop learning as long as I'm on this planet. And I want to encourage you to be students of your Bible. I would highly recommend a good Bible, a good study Bible, is the Complete Jewish Bible. It's a very good study Bible that'll give you some of the culture, some of the context, that explains some things to you that we as believers, we hear something and then we reteach it. But I learned my lesson a long time ago that you can't do that. If you hear something, you better study to make sure you understand it. I got in trouble several times with that, several times. And I realized, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to study, and I'm going to know what I'm teaching. But you've got to be full of his word, and you've got to make it a discipline in your life. I teach people all the time, do you like to eat food? Why do you eat food? Why do you eat it? Well, you're sitting here. Otherwise, you didn't eat much food, you probably wouldn't be here. Right? And you know, statistics state that we eat between an hour and 50 minutes to 2 hours and 50 minutes a day. Oh, Jim, I don't sit and eat my meal. Well, you don't count all your little snacks during the day and your Starbucks runs. But you do. You eat a lot. Everybody eats a lot, and we're committed to that because we want these bodies to be healthy. Shouldn't you commit that much time to the Word? Shouldn't you be full of His Word so much that you'll be ready in season and out of season? When Todd came up here to talk, you would have already known what he was getting ready to say if you'd have been in the Word, because the Spirit's always speaking to us, but we never listen. And we want to get a book and read it. We want to get other things to do it, but we stay away from the Word. And the Word's what gives life. He says, the words that I speak, they are spirit in their life. And if we don't spend time in his book, and really spend time digging and understanding, and sometimes, I'm going to tell you, it gets boring. I love to read. I've got a Bible reading pattern I do for me. And I just do it for me because I hadn't wanted to develop it for me. And all I do is I read, I read one proverb a day, one chapter. At the end of the year, I've read it 12 times. All the proverbs, 12 different times. Isn't that pretty good? Because there's 31 proverbs. So I'll read the proverbs 12 different times a year. Now I do in the Old Testament, I also do 3 psalms a day, sometimes 6. By the end of the year, I've read through the psalms at least 3 times, maybe 4. I'm committed to it. I'm just telling you, I'm really committed. And you know, and if I miss it, I'm going to catch up, or I'm going to get ahead before I do it. And then I start in the Old Testament, start in Genesis, and I read through. Sometimes 3, sometimes 6 chapters. I don't know, whatever I feel like doing that day, but I read a lot. I read the Gospels, starting with Matthew, all the way through each of the Gospels. And then when I get done with the Gospels, I start over. I stay in the Gospels. Why is that important? Who's talked about in there? And he talks about all kinds of things. And if you do that, you're going to read through your Bible. You'll read through your Bible. If you do what I'm telling you to do, you read through your Bible 4 or 5 times a year, not once. We think we're doing something when we read it once a year. And listen, I'm not trying to put a religious thing on you, but if that's what's giving you life, why in the world are we avoiding it? I mean, and we wonder why our lives are in a mess. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's always wanting to speak to us, but how can he speak to us if we don't spend time with him? He said, my sheep know my voice and will not follow another. Is that what he said? Do you know, in ancient Israel, when they would put the sheep in the pen, there would be a bunch of shepherds getting together. And they'd put all their sheep in the pen together. And then there'd be one shepherd that would sit at the door and guard the gate. In the morning, they had 3 different herds of sheep together. But one of the shepherds would come out there, and he would call his sheep. And guess what? Only his sheep would come out, because he got used to his voice. See, when you're reading your Bible, you're getting used to his voice. And then he'll start speaking to you. Sometimes he'll speak to you in a dream. He'll speak to you in a vision. Sometimes he'll just speak to you audibly. Sometimes he'll just speak through you, and you'll say something. Wow, I didn't know that. I know Todd's done that, and I'm sure Lewis has too, where you just speak about something, and next thing you know, man, I wish I'd have wrote that thing down. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit really wants you to get to know him, and you've got to spend time. It's the most valuable asset you have. You can get all the money in the world back, but you'll never get time back, ever. I want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to give you a couple examples in the scriptures. One of them is this. The Bible says in Matthew 6:22, and you go look it up. It says, if you have a good eye, your whole body is full of light. If you have a bad or an evil eye, your whole body is full of darkness. Now, we preach that as preachers. We say, well, if we're reading our Bible, we're full of light. If we're reading other stuff, we're full of darkness. Now, let me explain to you how it should really read to you and me. Because that was what we call an idiomatic expression. An idiom is a statement of something that might not mean what you think it means. Like, it's raining cats and dogs. So is it raining cats and dogs, or is it raining hard? It's raining hard, okay? So when this is written, the Jewish people understood exactly what he was saying. We have no clue. How many of you grew up in the first century? I didn't. So you can't. You really can't understand it. Well, you're doing good, bro. But it says, here's how it should read. If you're a generous person, your whole body is full of light. If you're a stingy person, your whole body's full of darkness. So what does that mean? Be generous with your life and don't be stingy. That means with your whole life. Well, that changes the way you read. And now you go, wait a minute, this is crazy. But see, we miss so much. That's the reason I've been studying. I study all the time. I went to Bible school. I didn't get things there that I wanted. I did all this on my own. I just bought book after book after book and started digging and digging and digging. I never quit because I want to know. Then there's another one in there called Sounding the Trumpet, Matthew 6:1-4. And he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, be careful to sound the trumpet when you're giving to the poor, both in the synagogue and out the doors. But what people didn't understand during those days, they had these little giving receptacles that were outside the synagogue and in the synagogue. And guess what they looked like? A trumpet. And it was wide at the bottom and it was narrow in the top. Now, if you had a denarius, which was a very soft coin, you couldn't even hear it drop into it. But then they had a lot of heavy metal coins, so these guys, they wanted to be recognized, so they get all these really heavy coins and slam them in there, and it'd make a sound. And they were basically saying, look what I did. Now you understand what that means. And see, that changes the perspective when you're reading your Bible, and all of a sudden your Bible's going to start opening up. I'll give you one more. The woman with the issue of blood. How many of you know she wasn't supposed to be in public? Why wasn't she supposed to be in public? She's unclean. She's supposed to be saying what? Unclean! But she didn't. She was so desperate. She wanted the Lord. Let me tell you something about Jewish people. They know the scriptures. And they don't have Bibles like you and me. They had these big, gigantic scrolls that the rabbis had to talk to them about. That's how they learned it. Is by word of mouth. How many of you want to learn that way? It's kind of hard to learn that way, isn't it? Now, when she had this in her head, she said, if I can just touch, and we read it as robe, but it should read zit-zit. And the zit-zits were these little tassels that came down the side of the prayer shawls. Some of y'all have seen it, right? Well, those little knots equate to the 614 commandments. They contain, they perceive that as being the word of God. So in her head, she's saying out of Malachi that the healer would come with that titzit around him, that prayer shawl around him, which is also called a wing. And she remembered in Malachi that the Messiah would come with healing in his wings. And all she had to do was touch the word of God and she'd be healed. Wait a minute. See, the New Testament wasn't written. Y'all know that. When this was written, the New Testament wasn't written. So what were they teaching from? Torah. What I loved about Jesus is he was walking around with his disciples one time, and he's walking with them right when he got resurrected, and he's hanging out with them, just talking to them, and it said he revealed himself from the Torah. Can you preach to somebody? Can you teach somebody about Jesus from the Torah? You better start learning how to. Well, Jim, I don't need to do it that way. I think you do. It'll benefit you. Matter of fact, when you go to Israel, you can't talk to people about Jesus. You know why? Because they don't read the New Testament. You know what they read? Torah. So everything has to be explained from the Torah. Our culture, we've got it made, y'all. Our eyes have been opened. And so we need to start opening other people's eyes. And I loved what Todd said. Listen, I think we got a lot of misnomers in the church. They call us ministers. We're not ministers. We're equippers. You guys are ministers. And I'm a minister too. When I do the ministry I do, I don't just do it here. I don't just do it in meetings. I do it out in the marketplace. I do it everywhere I go. I stand in Walmart line. I'll tell you some stories about that. One day I was in Walmart. I was on my walker when I first got off my could get out in public. And I showed up. Here I am walking on a walker. And I'm in Walmart. And there's three different people standing there, three different cashiers. You know how they stand in the register and nobody's there? Three of them are standing there. So I walk up to the first one. I start giving her a word. She starts crying. Walked in. This isn't Walmart. This isn't in here. This isn't Walmart. Go to the next lady. She's already crying because she heard what I said to her. So I start ministering to her, Then I go down to the next one. She's a little teenager. She's boohooing. She's done lost it in line. We didn't have a customer walk up. Ministered to her, and then they checked me out, and I left. I don't know what they thought happened. But it doesn't matter. Just be you. Go out and just touch people, whether it's with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. I don't know if God would do that. He'll do it in the marketplace. He'll show up all the time in the marketplace. There's so many people desperate for Jesus. Y'all have no idea. I tell you, I love what I get to do. I get to travel and do all kind of wild things. Now, I'm going to say something else to you. Then I'll wrap it up. I'm not going to talk a long time tonight. But in Genesis 1:14, it says that God will reveal himself through the signs in the heavens and through the seasons. That's what it says in Genesis 1:14. So what does that mean? I'm glad you ask. The signs in the heaven, what was a big sign in the heaven that he revealed? What was one of the biggest signs ever that he revealed? Where? Bethlehem, right? The stars in the heaven, he revealed who he was, right? Just recently, just in the past few days, another sign in the heaven just appeared in America, in Ohio. A meteor just came, which is very unusual. Extremely, extremely, extremely unusual for us to even hear about it. So that was a sign in heaven. You better start paying attention. Why is that important? Because that second word says seasons. How many of you know it doesn't mean winter, spring, summer, fall? It's the Moedim, which is the feast days. What are the feast days? We've got one coming up. What is it? Passover. So Passover is right around the corner, and it's going to be very, very important. You've got to pay attention during the feast days because those are his time clock for history. They're repeated over and over again so that the Jews will finally understand that Jesus is the Messiah, but they're continuing to be repeated. They continue to do it. We need to pay attention to them and know what they mean. In context of Passover, you have two other little mini feasts, which is one's called Unleavened Bread. What does leaven have to do with? So if it's unleavened, what does it have to do with? No sin, right? So that's in the midst of Passover, because he's the lamb that was sacrificed, unleavened bread, and then you have the first fruits. And who was he? The first fruit from the dead. So that means we're the second, third, fourth, fifth fruits. So we're going to be the fruits from the dead too. This is really important to pay attention to these things, because generally stuff happens around these feast days. Before this, there was a season called Purim. What happened during Purim, in the midst of Purim? War started, didn't it? So you got to pay attention to these things. It's really, really important. Now, you keep going 50 days after Passover, what comes? Pentecost. What's that about? Giving of the Spirit. Was that the first time or the second time? Second time. First time was in the book of Exodus. Second time it happened, right? It was a very big event. Now, key to it is you run through a lapse during the summertime to the fall, and then you come to a month of Elul, which is a time of repentance. The Jewish people look at that as a time that they can turn back to God and repent. It's a whole month of it. Because you're coming up on a time called Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets. What does it say in the book of Revelation about the trumpets? He shall sound the trumpet, and he shall what? Return. Now, let me give you another idiom. You're going to like this idiom. One of the idioms for Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpet is, no one knows the day or the hour. So what did Jesus' disciples say? Jesus, when you returning? He said, no one knows the day or the hour. So what was he telling them? Going to be in the fall sometime, usually in September, October. That's when that feast happened. It hasn't been fulfilled. All those other feasts have already been fulfilled in Jesus. Now, he said, no one knows the day or the hour except my Father in heaven. Now, here's the other side you got to remember. His Father in heaven is the only one that knows. What is that? What is he talking about? I'm glad you asked. In Israel, when there's a wedding, and there's going to be a wedding, and there's a husband and wife, they're wanting to get hooked up, the two dads get together and negotiate a ketubah, or a wedding agreement. And in the wedding agreement, it says, this is what the husband will do, and this is what you, the bride, will do. Guess what our wedding agreement is? Your Bible. God says, if you do this, I'll do this. So they agree to that wedding agreement and get it all done. Everything gets drafted up. They take that one cup of wine, throw the glass away. That's where that came from. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about it, but what happens is the future husband, actually they're married. Once they agree to it and they sign off on everything, they're married. It's just not consummated. Okay, but he looks at his future bride and says, honey, I have to go now. I have to go to my Father's house and prepare a place for you. Does that sound familiar? You start going, whoa, wait a minute. Bible's starting to really make sense now. So he goes back to his Father's house and he builds a wedding chamber to prepare for to come and get his wife. And he's wanting to come and get her at some point, but he can't come back until his Father says, it's done. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Now, he's there, so the bride's out there all alone at her father's house waiting on her groom to come back. She's getting stressed out. So you know what he does? He sends gifts back to her. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists to equip the saints. He gave gifts back so she wouldn't give up. So she'd hang on. Pretty crazy, isn't it? Then guess what happens after that? Right before he gets ready to leave, he sends two witnesses. Is that in your Bible too? I think that's in the book of Revelation, isn't it? He's going to send two witnesses to witness the whole event. So he's coming back for a bride, which is you and me. Once you figure all this stuff out and you start looking at it, you go, wait a minute, my head's spinning. He's coming back. What that looks like is different. I'm not going to go into that part because I have a different view of that and it'd take me too long to talk about it. So I'm not going to talk about it. But he will return. Day of Atonement really has to do, which is the next feast, has to primarily do with Israel. It's going to be them returning to God. That's what the Day of Atonement's all about. Your Day of Atonement's already happened when you said, yes, Jesus. Your Day of Atonement's done. See, we don't have to wait on that. That's the reason what Todd says, let's get out and be about his business. Wherever that's at, it doesn't really matter where we go. Let's get out and figure this thing out. But we've got to be full of God's Spirit. So that means you've got to be full of his Word. By the way, the Holy Spirit says, if you want to really study about the Holy Spirit, look at John 14, 15, and 16, and read it in the Amplified. It's really interesting when you read it because he says, the Spirit will show you things to come. How many of you know what's coming? He didn't say he'd just do that to prophets. Who'd he say he'd do it with? Everybody. You start understanding this, and you can all of a sudden, you're going to be so full of God, it's going to change things. I love what's going on here. I've got a similar meeting. I do something very similar to what Todd's been doing. I've been doing it for about 20 years now. And I teach this stuff all the time. I teach it over and over again. You know why? Because it takes a person 5 to 6 times to get it. They got to hear it 5 to 6 times to get it and for it to stick. It just takes that long. And so I have to teach it over and over again through the years, and then I get new people coming in and all that kind of stuff. But the reason Todd or any of us are here is to equip you guys so that you can get out there and set the world on fire. Amen. And that's the way it should be. And if we do that, we'll change the world. By the way, he didn't say go get people saved either. You know what he said? Go make disciples. So what does that mean? You have a certain group of people that you influence. And if you aren't influencing those people and they're influencing you, who's winning? Listen, I ran car dealerships for 20 years. I'll never forget this. As long as I live, this is probably one of the best examples. My last 10 years was at Jim Moore Cadillac. I ran the Cadillac dealership. Yeah, I used to go down to the service department. My service department was a big service department. It was probably 30, 40 mechanics, maybe 20, 30. I don't remember, a lot. But you go down there, and they invented cuss words you never heard. They did. I mean, it's crazy. And they'd see me coming, it'd go up a notch. And somebody said, well, why didn't you say, tell them you're a preacher? I said, why do I need to tell them I'm a preacher? I just got to live it. And so I did. I just would go down there and be cussing up a storm. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. That was their language. That's all they knew. So I didn't get offended. I just let them do their thing. But one day they made a fatal mistake. One of the mechanics came to me and said, hey, Jim, my son's hurting. Would you mind praying for him? I put my arm around him and said, Father, in Jesus' name. I started praying about his son right there. The next day I came down here, you could hear a pin drop. You know why? All of a sudden, they knew it was real. They knew it was real because I did it right there. And guess what? I got to do more prayer in that dealership and touch so many people. Embrace whatever job you have. Embrace it. It's an opportunity for you to grow. It's an opportunity for you to practice God's presence. Get full of the Spirit. Be so full that you, it's like you can't get enough. There's a lot of times, the other morning I had to go to Augusta and Savannah for a meeting. And my Augusta meeting's early in the morning. It's like at 8:30 in the morning. A lot of people say, why do you do it at 8:30 in the morning? I said, because I only want the hungry ones to come. And guess what? I'll have between 40 and 80 people at that meeting. They show up at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday. But I didn't have anything the night before, so I go to bed at like 8. When I got to get up that early the next morning, I go to bed at 8. I had zip I was going to talk to them about. I woke up at 2:30 and couldn't go back to sleep. And I just got up, man, I wrote out exactly what I needed. Man, I got to that meeting, it was amazing. But you got to be willing to be awakened by the Lord. You got to know who you really are. Some of you got dreams and visions, and you got to start paying attention to them. They're really, really important. When I have a dream, it's very rare. But if I do, it's pretty significant. Now, Todd's different. He has a dream all the time. But he's a seer. He sees. I don't see. No, his ain't pizza. But you see. It's different. I've got, as a matter of fact, the day we met a few weeks ago, and after I got done with him, I got a phone call from another guy from out in Texas. He's a seer too. He had a dream the night before, and he was in panic. And then next hour, I got another phone call from another guy from Georgia, and he's a seer, because they're trying to figure this stuff out, because God's opening things up for us, and all of us can participate. So when you get full of God's Spirit, as you get full of His Word, things are going to start happening. That's how all this works. You know why? Because I think He wants to know we're committed. And if you're spending a couple hours with Him every day, 2 or 3 hours, He knows you're committed. There's some of the greats that came up. They wore holes in the floor because they'd stay by their bed on their knees. And they hardwood floors, they'd wear holes in the floor. I mean, grooves from the amount of time they spend in prayer. And that's just talking to God. Talking to God is, prayer is not just about you spilling your guts. It could be praying in the Spirit. It could be you just reading your Bible. That's praying to God. You're spending time with Him. The key to everything is is take that time that you've been given on this earth and use it. Don't waste it. Because you never get it back. Ever. Ever. Well, Jim, you don't understand the pressure I'm under. Well, get out from under it. Figure ways to do it. You know, football season around, people have no problem setting aside 8 hours for a Saturday, do they? And they don't mind spending all the money there either. Boy, you got to spend time in prayer. If they call a prayer meeting, the same three people show up. It's always the same three people. It's never the bulk. You know why? Because most people don't have a relationship with God. They know about Him. They don't know Him. Where do you fit in that? You come here just to know about Him, or are you coming here to know Him? It's a difference. To know Him means you're getting close. What? Let me tell you why it's important to know Him. Because He whispers. That still, small voice. There's such a strong presence of the Lord here tonight. I felt it when I came in. So I know this place has been seasoned with the presence of God. I know it has. But I want to encourage and challenge each of you, become dynamos. Become the Smiths Wigglesworths. Become the Amy Simple McPhersons. Become the Heidi Bakers. You know why they're who they are? Because they spend time. They didn't do it because God says, I'm choosing you because you're special. He's saying, I chose you, but what's your commitment level? By the way, the only reason you're here is He chose you first. Did you know that? You didn't choose Him, He chose you. That's kind of scary, isn't it? So I challenge you in the rest of this year to be committed, really be committed. And God's really going to open up His Word to you. I'm finding stuff in the Word. I really sense, and I'm going to teach on this soon, but I sense in the very new future there's going to be a release of the fear of the Lord. Stuff that we've never experienced before. Ever. Let me tell you something. I was reading in Proverbs the other day, and it just jumped out at me. I've read Proverbs so much just in the past 2 years. I never saw this. It says the humble will experience the fear of the Lord. I said, what? And so you look up the word humble, and it means somebody that's lowly, but listen to this, but somebody that obeys the Lord and the calling that He's given them. That's what true humility is. See, you've got to get your definitions from your Bible. You cannot get your definitions from our English stuff. I'm telling you, you better get to know your Bible. There's so many things, the one about Jesus writing in the dust. If you really understood that, you go, wait a minute. Did you know there's a scripture that refers back to in Jeremiah that explains why he wrote in the dust? Did you know that? There's scriptures like that all through there. Did you know Jesus had to do four miracles? He had to do four miracles. Most people don't even know this because they don't understand history. I don't have time to teach it tonight. But there's so many things to learn so that you can get closer to Him. And all of a sudden, you'll start reading your Bible differently. Well, me and a friend were talking today. Everybody said, oh, the earth's going to be destroyed. It's not what it teaches. It teaches in the New Testament that when He comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years, it says if you don't come to Israel during those appointed times, which is the feast days, and one of them happens to be tabernacles, that there'll be a plague and no rain on your land. So there's going to be people all over the planet that still don't know him. And we'll be in the New Jerusalem. Kind of scary, isn't it? Read your Bible. Let me tell you why it's important. And then I'll wrap it up. Let me tell you why it's important. If I teach something, Todd teaches something, Lewis, whoever. Whoever in here teaches something. How do you know what they're teaching is right? If you don't know the word, how do you know? If they take it out of context and you don't know the word, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be in deep doo-doo. And you're going to blame it on them. But guess who's at fault? Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman worthy. Listen, when I was in the car business, every time I had a break, I'd be reading my Bible. Every time I had a break, I'd walk up and down through the dealership praying. I never quit. I'd have people come to my dealership and I'd minister to them at the dealership. I never quit. Still do it today. I want to challenge each of you to become hungry for God. I can recommend some books at some point for you guys that will help you understand your Bible a little bit better. It's not going to give you the fullness because you've got to keep seeking. Now, I've got about 300 books on this iPad. That's just on my Kindle. In my iBooks, I got probably another 150. And then in my library, I got about another 250. Why? Because somebody's already done the hard work. And what I want to do is get these books that confirm things, that help me understand my Bible. Become students. Become his disciple. Sit at the master's feet. R.T. Kendall was being interviewed by a man in, I forget, I think his name is Jimmy John, and he's from England. And R.T. Kendall had written probably 30, 40, 50 books all about the glory of God, all these different things. He's a doctor of theology. And this Jimmy John looked at him and said, R.T., what would you tell little R.T. to do different? He said, number one, I'd have never gone to seminary. He said, I would have just got my Bible and stayed in it 10, 15 hours a day. He said, because I read in my Bible in the book of Acts that the Pharisees were looking at these disciples when things were happening, and they said, these were unlearned men. In other words, they didn't have rote memory of the Torah. These are unlearned men. Listen to what they said. But they've been with Jesus. He said, that's the reason why. He said, what was the second thing you'd do? He said, I'd spend the next 4 or 5 hours just thanking him for his goodness and praising him every day. He said, the American church has lost its way. Now, this is a theologian that's a doctor of theology. And he said, that's all bunk. There's another man named, where we got all our stuff from. He was in the first, probably before the first century. I'm trying to remember his name right now, but I can't remember it. Let me remember my grandson's name and I remember it. Anyway, he was a famous theologian. He wrote a treatise of how the church should be run, how order should be done. His name was Augustine. And everybody set their services in order by him. His name was Augustine. He was a very famous guy. And he wrote this book. He wrote a second book. He said, this is better than my first book. He said, everybody needs this so you can take care of doing these churches and stuff. Well, he died. He was in his deathbed. He was laying in bed. And he wasn't supposed to die then, but he died. right after he'd written his second, so he didn't even know if people looked at his second book. Well, he died, but he only stayed dead for about 3 or 4 minutes, and he sat straight up in bed and said, I've just saw the Lord rip up all my books. They don't mean anything. Quit holding on to your pet stuff and hang on to him, and you'll make it. So I just bless you guys with that. I hope it meant something to you today. Now I'm going to minister to a few of you. Is that all right? If you got your cell phone, find your voice recorder, because I'm not going to remember what I said to you. Yeah, but put it on your voice. Put it on your phone too. If you got a phone, find your voice recorder. If you ain't got your phone, oh well. I like people to do it on their phone because I want you to listen to it. Because I'm going to say some things to you and it's going to go beep, just like this. And then you'll be going, what did you say? Guess what? I'm not going to repeat myself. Yeah, I had another lady that did that. I had a lady in Myrtle Beach that did that. She was a pastor there, the big church, big evangelical church. It wasn't even a charismatic or a Pentecostal church. And she came to my meeting for about 4 years. She actually had a whole book. And she said, Jim, she said, I wrote them down. And it was like God had orchestrated my life all along the way, and I couldn't even see it. There's things I'd say to her that would just didn't make sense to her. It doesn't, a lot of things I'm going to say to some people tonight, it's not going to make sense to you that are around them, but the person I'm speaking to, it's going to mean something. I was just in a meeting last week, and I gave a guy a word, and I said, you know, when you were 12 years old, you almost died, and God kept you on this planet. Well, my friend called me and said, Bro Jim, he said, you gave him that word, and he came to me just yesterday, he said, when I was 12 years old, I was skating on ice with some friends of mine. And I fell through the ice. And if my friend wouldn't have been nearby, and he happened to have a hockey stick in his hand, if he wouldn't have reached out and got me, I'd have been gone. Now, this guy had never experienced this before. So his eyes got about that big around, but his heart got this big. That's the reason prophecy is so, so important. It opens people's hearts and minds. It brings you into an encounter with God that you might not have otherwise. That's the reason I do it. I know that's the reason Todd does it. I know that's the reason a lot of you guys do it. But God reveals himself that way. Now, I don't know who you are, but in 2026, this year, God's going to give you a big breakthrough in your life. You're an amazing man. You have such a big heart. And you've always been faithful in everything that you've done. Everything. You've been frustrated too. But the Lord says, I'm getting ready to build you a new life in 2026. By the end of this summer, many things in your life are going to be changing. And I want you to know it's from me. So don't get freaked out and panic. Just embrace it. Because it's going to be a greater future than you could ever dream or think, or even ask. He's spoken to you off and on through your life, and you've always been trying to figure this God thing out, because you're not a skeptic, but you question everything. And you do it because you've got that big heart. So I've really sensed that by the end of this summer, you're going to be in a brand new place with God. So I just really want to encourage you in that. It's going to be pretty awesome. And when it happens, you go back and you won't remember what I said, but go back and listen to this. And you're going to go, wait a minute. This just happened. And when it happens, it's going to be something so big that you can't even think or imagine, dream or even imagine. By the way, y'all together? I like to ask. I am not that good yet. Husband and wife, right? Okay. I like to make sure. Sometimes I've said it and I wasn't sure. Then I get in deep trouble. Not really. Because if you're living together, you're married anyway. But, you know, the Lord has really moved upon y'all's life, and you have such an amazing heart too. Now, you try to figure everything out. Everything's got to make sense to you. But boy, when it makes sense, once it makes sense, you give it 1,000%. You're all the way in. And you're a seeker, and you're a dreamer too. And God's going to continue to unlock your dreams in 2026. So get ready to step into this new season. And there's going to be more real. It's going to be more like a 4D type thing. It's not even going to be fuzzy. It's going to be really clear. And you won't have to get a dream book. God's going to tell you what it means. So you get ready. You're stepping into a new season too. By the way, God put you two together. I just thought y'all going to know that. And he's kept y'all at such a time as this. So get ready. Your future is going to be greater than your past has ever been. And your house will be a gathering place in the near future too. So get ready for what God's about to do. It's going to be pretty amazing. That's pretty cool. Now you a trip, dude. You really are a trip, but I like you. I like your heart because I watched you running around here. You're just a servant. You're always helping people. You've done that your whole life. Matter of fact, there's times that you gave away stuff. You didn't have the money to do it. You just did it anyway just because you knew to do the right thing. You still even do that today. And you've been very prosperous in your life. Everything you've touched, God's prospered. Everything. And, you know, you're just a gifted man on so many levels. And it's not like you're retired because you're always doing something. You never, ever quit. And the Lord told me to tell you, these next 3 or 4 years is going to be the best years you've ever had on the planet.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's going to bless you and everything that you touch. And you're so hungry for the things of God. Mm-hmm. And he said, son, I'm going to draw you in close and I'm going to let you experience me in a different level.
Thank you, Lord.
And get ready to step into it. Is this your better half? That's the best half?
Mm-hmm. Best half.
You heard what he said, didn't you?
That's the best half. Ask him by the end here.
You know, you're such a prayer person. I see you sitting before the Lord, and you're always talking to him, and you really do hear him. So don't doubt it anymore. And you need to start writing these things down. I see this little book in your hand, but you don't write down everything. But he said, I want you to start writing down all the things I'm getting ready to show you. He said, daughter, you've prayed some people in. The kingdom that you don't even know that you'll meet when you get to the other side. Stay true to me in these visions and these dreams that you're seeing. They're from the Lord. But you got to write them down and he'll give you the right time to give them out. There's also a gift of healing in your hands. So you need to release that to people and watch what he's going to do. Because the hand of the Lord's been upon your life for a very, very long time. So don't be afraid to step into it anymore. Step into it with absolute boldness and watch what God will do. God's pretty cool like that, you know. He's pretty intense. I like teenagers. You know why I like teenagers? Oh boy, if I can get you teenagers before you get grown, I love it. I actually have some girls that used to come into my meeting in Myrtle Beach. They started when they were 5. They're 15 now. It's amazing to watch them grow in the ways of God. They actually remind their mom when I'm coming to Myrtle Beach so that they can come to the meetings. And, you know, it really changes their life. But you're a very smart, sharp little young girl. You're very creative, but you're very, very smart. Now, sometimes you don't think you are, but you are. And I know you're battling with a few of your courses. But Jesus told me today he's going to start helping you with all those courses and it's going to get a lot easier. Before the end of next year, you're going to be in a brand new place in your life. And God's going to show you who he really is. And he sees you sometimes in your room. And in your room sometimes you get in there and you start singing out loud. And you start making up these songs. And in these are songs to the Lord, and he hears them. He told me to tell you, he hears your prayers. So he told me to tell you, this is going to be an amazing year for you, starting next year. The rest of this year is going to finish up good. You've got some good grandparents here, too. I haven't seen them in how long? 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, we used to be skinny. We ain't skinny no more, brother. And we used to have hair.
Yeah.
But he also told me to tell you, your creativity is amazing. And so as you sit there and doodle like you like to do sometimes, Ask the Lord to showing you how to draw, and he's going to show you how to draw. So you're so gifted in so many different areas. You're an amazing, very amazing young lady. And, you know, I haven't seen y'all in forever. I didn't even remember who you were, to be honest with you. And you came up. The only reason I remember you is you said something. That's the only reason I remembered you. You know, we all change a lot, you know. And I've always loved your heart because you've always been one that tested everything. That's the way you've always done everything, even in your business. Man, you tested everything, and finally you found the right model for your business, and you put it in action. But it took you about 8 years to figure it out. But boy, when you figured it out, it's all in. And he told me to tell you, the blessings of God are overtaking you everywhere you turn. Brother, if you turn to the left, the blessings chase you. If you turn to the right, the blessings chase you. Y'all've got a big deal getting ready to come up. Does he work with you too, Lewis? There's a big deal, really big deal, that's getting ready to come up for y'all. It's not there yet. But I mean, it's going to be bigger than anything y'all have ever touched before. And I'm going to tell you, when it happens, y'all are going to be totally shocked. I mean, it's going to be the biggest thing that's ever touched y'all. Matter of fact, it's going to take care of a lot of different things for you guys. You've always been a giver too. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart. You've always given to people. You've always spent time with people. Even when it looked like you weren't going to get anything out of it, you spent time with them. And the Lord really blessed you for that. And he told me to tell you, the rest of the days of your life shall be full. And you're going to be around for a while. I just thought you'd like to know that. And, you know, you've always had a big heart. You're such a generous person with your life. You know, you've got that good eye, which is what I was talking about. You really do that. And you've helped so many young people through your life. I don't even know what you do for a living, but I just know you've got an amazing heart. You've always pulled people up. You've always looked out for the underdog. And you said, Lord, when's somebody going to look out for me? He told me this year's your breakthrough year on every level. You laid down a lot of things when you two first got together. You laid down a lot of stuff. But the Lord says you're going to start picking it back up this year. So get ready to step into it and embrace it as God. You've been trying to figure out if you need to do it, do it. Don't hesitate. It's totally God. And the blessings of God are going to overtake you with that. Now, is it a daughter? Oldest daughter. How many children y'all got? Y'all had a passel. How old's the youngest? You got a boy in there? You got a boy in there somewhere? 40. Now Andrew's a trip, and the Lord's got his heart. He's getting ready to tie him up in the next few weeks, and so don't worry about him anymore. God's got his hand on him. See, God knows all about her, all about us. And the youngest daughter, she's something else, boy. She's a mix of the both of y'all, and that's the reason she bucks both of you at the same time. And she gets away with it, but I really sense that the Lord's getting ready to bring her to a breakthrough. So she's going to have a breakthrough too, so God's good like that. Now, God, who do you belong to? Yep. That's your mom. Who are those people to your this side? Friends? Cool. You are. You ain't telling me a story, are you? Okay, I just got to keep my eyes on you both. I can tell that already. You sneaky.
No, this is legit.
This is legit. I get it. I'm teasing you. How old are you? Another 14-year-old. Man, you've got a heart, man. You've got a very big heart. You've had quite a life from the time you were a very little guy. You're literally a miracle to even be here. The Lord got you here through a miracle. It's the only reason you're even on this planet. And he told me to tell you he's going to take care of some things in your life over the next 6 to 7 months. And many things in your life are going to be changed. Many things. Matter of fact, some doctor said some things can't be changed, but Jesus said, I'm the great physician. I'm going to handle it. So all you do is you keep believing the Lord and watch what he'll do. Now you, you're the mouth of the South, dude. You talk more smack than any one person I've ever seen on this planet.
He caught you.
I didn't catch you in anything. But you, I love your heart because you're real. And that's one thing you're all about. If it's real, I want to be part of it. That's the only reason you're part of this group. Because you were nowhere 2 years ago. Nowhere. And you found this and you said, okay, I'm in. Because you used to go to churches and you hated every minute of it. And you hated it because there's no contact with you. But here you feel like you're learning about who you really are. And you're very gifted. You just don't understand it right now. There's a strong prophetic thing on your life. It's real strong. But you're scared of it. You can't be afraid of it, dude. You got to jump in with both feet. You can't look back. You got to keep moving forward. 2026 is going to be a big breakthrough year, and your finances are going to finally start changing because it's been real tight, real tight. I'm talking pennies. It's all you got left at the end of the month. I know. But he told me to tell you, by the end of this year, you're going to start having dollars. By the end of next year, you're going to have 20s left over and hundreds left over.
Woo!
Because he's going to bring you to a new place. All you got to do is believe. Just keep trusting him every single day. Keep believing and walking towards him. He'll take you on this journey.
Yes, sir.
You're an amazing young man. So be bolder in the days ahead, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Now, Mama, you a trip. You shouldn't be on this planet either. Not once, not twice, but three different times you should have been off this planet. Off. But God. And he's kept you here for such a time as this. He'd been rebuilding everything in your life from the ground up. It didn't stick until about a year and a half ago. About a year and a half ago, everything changed. Because it was the right time. Now he's rebuilding you on the inside emotionally and mentally because you've been through heck and back. And him not even having pennies, you didn't even have a half a cent. But this year is going to be a breakthrough year for you. So get ready to receive it and watch what God will do. Can you feel the peace that just came in? Pretty crazy, isn't it? You know why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace shows up, everything changes. By the way, the Bible says whenever a prophet's around, there's a release of Jesus. Because Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. So he's always here. This lady right here, that's you. That'd be you. I saw the Lord doing a very supernatural work in your life. Lord, have mercy, lady. You barely made it. You've been on a roller coaster ride. It's been up here, and then you'd be way down here. Then you'd be up here, and then you'd be way down here. And you can't seem to get your bearing. But you know what I saw the Lord do? I saw him blow on you. And he's bringing some healing to the very depth of your soul. Listen, God lives in eternity. Eternity's past, present, and future. That's eternity. And he has no time or space. But I saw you when you were about 6.5 years old. And all heck was breaking loose in your life. And you couldn't control it. And it was a mess. And it went on to you're about 9, 10 years old. And I saw the Lord intersect your life back then. See, he's doing it right now. And in just the next few weeks, you're going to come out of this season that you've been in, and you're going to have more peace than you've ever had. See, you've been asking God for peace. You say, God, if you just bring me peace, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I know you have. And he's telling you, he's setting you free tonight. Now, it's going to be a process. Just hear what I'm telling you. But each day is going to get a little bit better. And then when into 2 weeks, literally, you're going to have more peace than you've ever had in your life. And he's going to heal that little girl inside that's been broken for so long. And he's going to restore her and make her whole.
And he's going to fast forward it to today. And you're going to be that very confident woman of God from this day forward. And you almost didn't come tonight. Because you said, I ain't going to that meeting. I know. But you almost didn't want to come. I heard you talking about it. I know. I know, but your anxiety is going to be gone. It's going to disappear. You're going to freak out when it happens. You're not going to know what to do. You're going to have to learn how to live differently. See, sometimes we get healed of stuff. We got to learn how to live differently. Because we've been carrying that stuff for so long that we kind of try to fall back to it, but you're not going to be able to fall back to it anymore because it's just not going to be there. As you, the daughter, and you, the husband of the her. Now, you something else, girl. Well, you're bold. Lord have mercy, you're bold. You ain't afraid of nothing. Nothing. And you've always been one that's always helped other people. You've done that your whole life for everybody else. But the Lord told me to tell you, now he's getting ready to touch your life afresh and new. Because there's nights for you that you just lay in bed and said, man, I can't even sleep. Your husband knows this. You'll wake up at 2, you won't wake him up because he's got to go to work. You do too. But you get up on about 3 hours of sleep is all you get. That's pretty much on a regular basis. But Psalm says this, I give my servants sleep. So he's releasing sleep into you right now. So your sleep's going to get much better. Or as my little boys used to say, it's going to get more better. So get ready to embrace this time. It's going to be such a blessing for you. And brother, you something else, man. God's blessed you. Everything you've touched, you've been blessed by. Everything. When you were in high school, you were blessed. It didn't matter what you touched, you were blessed. And you knew it. But you could never figure it out. But you were probably one of the most faithful people that there is. See, God looks at that. Faithfulness is a big deal to God. He said, when I return to the earth, will I find faithfulness on the earth? He didn't say, it says faith, but in the original it says faithfulness. And he's going to find that in you. And I don't know what you do, but God's getting ready to bless the socks off your feet. Literally. Get ready for about a 40% increase in your income. It's the blessing of God. Just to always remember him when he does it. That's the key. Just keep remembering him. That's all you got to do. I'll give you more if Todd's ready. He can. I know you got. I know you're fired up too. That's what happens when we get around like together like this. We used to do this a lot together anyway. Well, in a lot of my meetings, I do. When people come to my meetings, I get everybody in the meeting. I just do. That's, you know, why I do that. Why I try to get everybody? Because I used to hate to go to a prophetic meeting and they only get about 8 or 9 people. That used to aggravate the snot out of me. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to get everybody. So I do it every time. I get in trouble like that, though. I was in Georgetown one day. We had about 80 people in the church service that morning. I ministered to about 20. I said, the rest of you come back tonight, and I get the rest of you. That night, 124 people showed up. So I was there to about 11:30, 11:45, at midnight. But, hey, I did it. Go ahead.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I'll grab somebody later.
Okay. Karen, I wanted to give you a word. It's funny because you show up tonight and you've been in my spirit for the last 4 weeks. And I just want to share this with you. God is giving you a song, okay? But I want to interpret what I'm saying by that, okay? When somebody gets a song and a melody, it's something that gets inside of them where they hear it and it comes over and over again. Have you ever had to like go to a worship meeting and the next day and whatever, and you're just hearing that same song? He's going to be repeating on the inside of you solutions. There's a solution that God wants to give you, and it's going to be repeated over and over again so that you know that you know that you know that God is directing this, because it's very important. It's almost like there's something so significant in your life right now that God wants to just alter some things, but it's really pertaining really to your mission, and that prophetic that resides inside of you is going to be come out like a volcano. It's like there's something building on the inside that's going to erupt, and it's going to bless a lot of people, and you're going to feel so fulfilled. And just know that, you know, your dreams, you know, we have young, when we're young, we have dreams about certain things, but the Lord is trying to tell me to tell you that you need to start to dream again, because he's not done. This thing is, in fact, you're going to be looking back in some years if he tarries and say, gosh, you began that then. You know, Moses started out at 80, you know. You're not even close, okay? So just be prepared, because God is going to begin to open some doors. And again, that song is going to be so sweet in your ears, because it's Jesus singing to you. Amen? Praise you, Jesus.
You know, God's just good. That's all I got to say about that. Are y'all related? Or are y'all just friends? You're something else too, lady. Man, I like you. You know, you really started getting hungry for God. You started chasing him. And you came out of some stuff. You said, how did I miss this all my life? He said, you came in at the right time. And he said, daughter, I'm going to reveal myself to you over these next 3 to 4 years, and you're going to be undone, more than you've ever been undone. And I saw the Lord casting a net around your family. You got grandchildren and great-grandchildren? You will, and you'll see them too. But I saw the Lord throwing a net around your whole family. And he says, I'm getting ready to bring them all in, every single one of them. You don't even have to worry about that anymore. Last time I gave somebody a word like that, 21 of her relatives came into the kingdom a year later. But I really sense that God's getting ready to do something amazing in your family. And all you got to do is embrace it. And he said, daughter, because you have such a pure heart, there's no guile in you at all, that you can ask him anything and he'll answer you. So don't be afraid to ask him. There's some things you really desperately want, and you've been afraid to ask him. He said, don't be afraid anymore. You're my daughter. You always have been. And I've kept you as the apple of my eye. So this next year, start asking him for these things for your family and even for yourself. And he's going to give it to you exactly how you ask him. We'll just do tic-tac.
Yeah.
Tic-tac-toe.
Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. God is so good. My sister, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, the wisdom of God right there. You know, good-looking woman right there. The glasses. Yeah, you. So I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Just the wisdom of God. You know, the word of wisdom is something that gives us the practical way to apply something that God is telling us actually to do. And when we wait upon the Lord, it says that he renews our strength, but also it says he changes our strength. And that's what's going on right now, because the things that you've relied on in the past are not as strong as what he wants to do. There's got to be a change. He's changing your strength, changing the way you perceive, changing the way you approach, changing your even language, even within your tongues. God is going to give you a new language. Your tongues are going to change. And when you pray in the Spirit, you know, it says that sometimes, as Apostle Paul said, that it could be a tongue of an angel. And so I just want to encourage you that there's change coming from your midst, because it's a transformation that's going on, because God has to reposition you, because he doesn't want you just to, your portion no longer is survival. It's the best way I could say it. And so it's not just breakthrough, it's a whole new way of seeing your life. And it's a refinement, you know? And it's something that you've asked for because you don't give, it's not that you've given up or anything like that. Don't misunderstand me. You haven't given up. You just want to cling on to something. You want to feel like there's something tangible I can hang on to right now because I know you're going to get me through this. You always have. You always will. I just need it now, Lord. You know, hey, I'm down here. You see what's going on? I'm in the frying pan here, please. But he's answering you and he's going to bring change and it's going to come from a transformation from within because it's not enough. You know, God can sometimes take us out of a situation, but the problem is we end up getting in the same situation again because we had not learned warfare.
Amen.
And so that's what you're learning through this process. So just be encouraged, okay? His hand is on you. But man, I'm telling you, your language is going to change, and you're going to know it because when you pray in the Spirit, it's going to sound like a lion's praying through you. Okay? He is the Lion of Judah, and I just see him roaring through you. And that's what people are going to notice about you. Because when God strengthens an individual, it can't be faked. It's not a temporary thing. It's a permanent thing. And he wants to bring you to that place of strength, of permanence in your ministry. In Jesus' name I declare it. Amen.
God's getting ready to release physical healing in your body. You've been carrying stuff in your body for close to 20 years. You don't complain a bit about it. You just keep walking with God. You keep believing. People have given you this word I'm giving you right now. They've given it to you before, but today's the day of release. And I saw the Lord releasing a supernatural healing in your body, through your back and through your legs, through your hips. And he's releasing the healing in your physical body. You're going to be literally a different person starting. When you wake up tomorrow, you're going to wake up a brand new person. The pain you've been carrying is going to be gone. You don't complain one little bit. You don't even say anything to anybody about it. But I saw the Lord doing it. Now, the reason I saw it is I saw him standing behind you, the angel of the Lord standing behind you. And he's just covering you today. And you just quit asking about it. You just totally quit asking about it. And because you quit, you just believed and trusted in me. The healing's beginning. So over the next few weeks, when God does, sometimes our healings are progressive. I don't understand it. I just know sometimes it's progressive. And I feel like yours is going to be progressive, but in just the next little bit, it's like some things in your back are going to take care of itself. And then I saw your hips getting lined up. And then he's going to bring your whole body into a better shape than it's been in. And you ain't ever going to have to get cut with a knife. Because God's going to do it. And so you just get ready for what he's about to do, and you just be sure when it happens, you thank him for it and tell everybody about it. And then pray for those that need it too, because God's going to release healing through you to do it. And you've always been faithful. You've always wondered, God, why have I had to carry this for 20, 25 years? He said, I'm going to tell you what he told one guy. He said, the reason you were sick is not because you did anything wrong. Be because the glory of God can be revealed. And so God's going to reveal his glory through this in your physical body. So get ready for the healing. That's a good word right there.
Amen. Yes, it is. Praise God. Sure.
Billy. I love you, dude. God put you on my heart. Matthew 13, it tells us the parable of the sower that goes out to sow his seed into the field. And a lot of that seed, it falls down onto the rocky soil, and a lot of it, when it sprouts up. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
A lot of the seed, it falls onto the rocky soil, and it doesn't go into the ground. And a lot of it sometimes, when it sprouts up, the weeds try to choke it down. That's Satan, tries to take away the word of God from you. But there's the seed that goes down into the soil, and when it actually receives the nourishment, it produces a crop 20, 30, 60 times. And the Lord just wanted me to tell you that he knows that he sees you being tempted sometimes, but he knows that your heart is for him. And if he is for you, who can be against you? He wants you to know that, man, you've been pushing back Maybe you're feeling His Spirit, and maybe it's like there's a growth that just wants to spurt out. But He says, you are a man of God, and He says, I want you to know that you have a voice, you have a talent, and whether you're around people that see just your fire, they may question it. They may not understand it, though. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles, they received the tongue of fire, and they were gifted. So I don't know who, what is happening that may need some pruning, but I know that He's trying to say to you that those kinds of, those mindsets, He just wants you to know it's not about a mental hoop. You've already been in the place. He just wants you to step in to that realm. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the world. Because of the word I have already spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine.
Go ahead.
You were ready.
I was, okay. If you say so.
Jump on in the river.
Amen. That's so good. My brother, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I don't know if I've given you a word before. You look familiar to me. But, you know, as I look at you externally, you know, I see this preacher, you know, and I see years of just all kinds of just messages that have come through you. And just you're like a book, a volume, many volumes. And you know, God has really seasoned you, you know, because the word that you have is not it's very complex. And I just really feel like God's wanting to open some doors into your life to where you can release this again in a greater measure and to be ready for that, because, you know, it's like I was sharing a word over here with somebody, you know, the God has got something for you now to do. It's like you're not too old. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like it's the right time and the right season. And even you've been aware of it too, because you're being drawn to certain types of individuals, and there's a real draw where the Spirit of God is really starting to move through you like a river. And so as you begin to move into this flow, it's like He connects you with other people that connect you with other people. It's a divine connection. It's just going to be non-ending. And you're going to see that God has prepared you for this time and for this season. And not that all in the past didn't count for anything. It counted for a lot. But you've been prepared for this time. You know, I use this example a lot. It's like, you know, what about the donkey that Jesus rode on? The guy knew that he was preparing that donkey for the Lord, because all I had to do is someone, disciple, came and said, the Lord has need of this donkey, and boom, the donkey's gone. I'm not calling you a donkey, by the way, but I'm just saying, okay, that you've been prepared for this time and for this season, because in this revival, this last great move of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be involved in it, okay? And the things that you've read about the Smith, Wigglesworth, and all those men of God, the reason why you were attracted to those books is because this is a desire that God had planted inside you. See, all I'm doing is reading a book that was already written about you. I'm just echoing what He's already written. That's what prophecy is. And so these are things you will do. But He wanted to encourage you today, because in this encouragement, there's actually an impartation that's going deep within your spirit right now. You know, we call it the anointing. They call it the quickening. You're very familiar with it. And you're going to be even more so. But this is going to be like, you know, it's not something that just kind of comes and goes. It's going to be on you and through you. And God's gonna, don't worry, the supply, all that stuff, He's gonna take care of that. And that's really what you've been tightening up the belt of truth right now. And you think about, God's been saying, trust me. And you've been, okay, I'm gonna trust you. I'm not gonna worry about it. I'm gonna give it to you. And so God's gonna open up these doors. So I just wanna encourage you in that, brother. So it's strong anointing on you. And the gift of discerning the spirits is going to begin to function and operate in your ministry to a greater dimension. It's going to move from dreams to visions.
And sometimes that's just the way that gift works, okay? And, you know, Jesus, when especially when he was confronting the legion, and they got up, and not all the demons could speak through man's voice. How did he know there were thousands of them? He saw them. And so God's going to give you glimpses of this. It's because he wants you to know what you're actually combating. And so, you know, I don't know if you have your passport or anything like that, but I do see your ministry actually leaving, not the planet, but the planet USA, but, you know, leaving and going across oceans and stuff. So just be encouraged, because these divine connections are going to connect you to others that are actually in other places in the world. Amen.
I just want to add something to that, because I saw it too. I saw it's the year of the open door for you. This year, past 3 years, every door shut. Everything you tried to walk through shut. And the Lord told me, this is the year of the open door. And I really sense that all you got to do is move forward. Keep taking steps. When people mess up is they quit moving. You got to keep moving. Faith is active. Faith is not something that's static. You've got to take steps. And if you're not taking steps, you're not going to get to the place you want to get to. But I sense that if you'll do it by probably around July, first part of August, that door is going to open wide, and all you got to do is run through it. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. I'll give one more while I'm up here. You. That be you. Yes. Are you ready? I didn't think you were. I always tell people, hit the button. You're ready now. You know, you're a real student of the word. You really are. You've always dug, and you've always done that your whole life. You didn't take anybody's word for nothing. You would search it and research it and double research it. And then you get aggravated because there'd be a little bit of tension between things, and then you get undone, and you say, well, I don't know what to do now. And the Lord just told me to tell you that this is going to be a year of rebuilding in your life. The past 2 years has been like your whole life came undone. Everything, all at one time. And girl, you threw up your hands and you said, I don't know what in the heck is going on, but I trust you, Lord. And it's been the hardest thing that you've ever walked through, what you've walked through. But the Lord says you're stepping into a season of rebuilding. And by the end of this summer, you're going to be in a brand new place. And I mean that literally, too. He's going to bless you and retouch you, and everything you lost, you're going to get it back. Everything, every bit of it. And you don't have to worry about that anymore. All you got to do is trust and keep walking with him and keep loving on him every single day. The Bible says that he never leaves us or forsakes us. But whatever happened to you, you went into a real low state. Nobody knew it because you wouldn't tell anybody, because you keep everything hidden in your heart, everything. But see, sometimes God comes and reveals these things so that you can understand he knew where you were at the whole time. He told me to tell you, you're never going to go back to that dark place again. He just wanted to let you know that. So don't look over your shoulder anymore. Look ahead, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.
I'm on now. There we go. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise Jesus. Just be encouraged, Star. I was sitting here, and the Holy Spirit just dropped this into my spirit. it's kind of strange. I see you screaming. Not in a negative way, but just in a kind of a declare, make a declaration. You know, and it's like, you know, sometimes we get when we're in situations where we're trying to really not just cry out to God, but we we make a declaration where the Holy Spirit actually uses our voice to declare something. You know what I'm saying? And we know that it's Him telling us to declare it, you know, because of the way it comes out and the you know, I hate to use the word feelings, but there's feelings behind it. And I see you making these declarations literally where you're praying in the Spirit and all of a sudden, bam, those declarations are starting to come out at you. Start to declare. Because I don't know if you're in a war or what you're in exactly, but whatever it is, make those declarations because those are prophetic declarations. And you're hitting something when you do it. Because it always comes, it's going to come out of your prayer language, though. And something's going to rise up within you. And I don't know if you ever experienced that before where you're praying in the Spirit and it seems like it turns into war, you know, and you're not even really upset about anything. You're just praying in the Spirit, you know. But when you begin to experience this, declare, because God's going to speak into your mind. The mind of Christ can be turned on and declare those things. And they're gonna hit stuff. So I just want to encourage you in that warfare. I just saw God making you like a shiny sword. Your ministry is going to be like a shiny sword. It already is, but I just see Him just really sharpening you. So just be encouraged. That's the training. That's the Holy Spirit training you and girding you up for something very significant. But start to declare when He hits your mouth like that. Amen. God is so good.
Jim, Satan's got a Jesus problem with you. Satan thought his problem was solved when Jesus died. Not close the book on that one. It's done. And then Jesus rose from the dead. And Satan thought that Jesus was a problem for him before he rose from the dead. But then he was really in it with everything that God accomplished through His purposes, once Jesus rose from the dead. And Satan thought he had you at the exact same place. He said, this one's supposed to be dead. What is going on? He's not supposed to be here anymore. He's not supposed to be causing trouble for me anymore. But the Lord says, I kept you alive because I still had a purpose for you. And the Lord says, I'm going to reveal the purposes of the enemy. And as you begin to prophesy over people, God says, I'm going to reveal the plans of the enemy over this one. And you're going to reveal it. And you're going to call it dust. You're going to speak death over the enemy's plans and life over the people that you're proclaiming the word of the Lord over. But God's going to give you very distinctive insight into what the enemy's plans are, but more importantly, what God's plans for the same individuals are. You're going to see both sides of it, and you're going to proclaim death over one and life over the other.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your goodness in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up tonight and just whatever you just did. And Father, I just thank you that you're continuing to minister to all those that gather here tonight and those that couldn't show up tonight. Lord God, I just ask you that your Spirit, your anointing would go from this place and minister to them. Father, we just give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you, Lord. Father, I ask you to just watch over these words that have been spoken tonight, Lord God, that you send those to water and plant, Lord God, and whatever needs to take place. But Father, we just thank you for what you've done. We just give you all the glory. We just all the honor. Again, we're so thankful. Your presence has been here. It's been good to be in it. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll take it from this place to others. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, you feel like you need to get a word still, we're going to be here. So just come on up and form a line and we'll minister to you.